Today we open up the Epistle of Jude, so I'm just going to do the introduction of the Epistle of Jude for you today. And it's a wonderful epistle that continues with the same theme that we have learned in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and that is to defend the truth, to make sure we walk in it, live in it, and make sure that we are people who value the truth. And so we're going to learn that about this Epistle of Jude. And so today as we get together, I want you to meditate on that, the theme that Jude carries on is that special fervor and reverence for the truth and to preserve it. Okay, the title Jude, which we get in the name of the Hebrew, means Judah, okay? And in the Greek, it means as well Judah or Jude. He was one of the four half-brothers of Christ. And so Jude is the fourth shortest book in the Bible. Philemon, 2 John and 3 John are shorter. Jude has only 613 words in it. And so you're going to learn that, 25 verses. And it's the last of the eight general epistles. Jude will not quote from the Old Testament directly, but will have nine obvious allusions to it. Okay? And so you'll know that as you read, you'll find out where the scriptures are. And then Jude is also known as the Acts of the Apostates because of the problems with the dealings with apostasy. Okay, remember, apostasy means a defection from the truth, right? Where people abandon the truth and then follow after the lies of the world. And so apostasy is what Jude is writing about. And it's interesting because when he started the epistle, he was writing and thought he was going to be writing about salvation. But then the Holy Spirit took him in a new direction and he was talking about how to defend the word of truth. And this is what the Spirit did as he took over. Now remember, the author is Jude, the half-brother of Jesus. And remember that Jude was not an apostle, okay? And so, in verse 17, I want you to see this verse in Jude. Let's go there, first of all. Jude 1, 17. And it says, "But you, beloved, ought to remember that the words were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." So see, he doesn't include himself in the group of the apostles. And so when we look when it was written, remember that the doctrinal and moral apostasy discussed by Jude closely parallels 2 Peter chapters 2 and 3. So it has to do a lot with that. And we're going to be moving back and forth from 2 Peter as well. And it's believed that Peter's writings predated the writings of Jude. Okay, so 2 Peter, remember, talks about the anticipation of false teachers coming in to the church, where Jude says they're already here. And this is what the epistle is trying to stress on, okay? And so, 2 Peter, let's go there, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Notice the anticipation of false teachers that he was predicting would come on the scene. "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." Verse 2, "Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned." Okay, let's go to 2 Peter 3:3, where it talks about this. "Know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts." Okay, so 2 Peter is talking about the coming of false teachers, where Jude deals with the arrival of these false teachers. And in Jude, they were already on the scene. And so Jude always quotes directly from, many times, 2 Peter. Okay, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at that again, verses 1 and 2. I'm sorry, verse 3. 2 Peter 3:3. "Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following their own lust." Don't we see that today? We see all these false teachers, right, following after sensuality, their lust, and they're already here. And so one of the things, I want you to go back to Jude chapter 1 and look at verses 17 to 18. I want you to see this. "But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken," and notice this, "beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." that they were saying to you, in the last times there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lust, quoting from 2 Peter. And so the issue here more than anything is that because Jude makes no mention of the destruction of Jerusalem or the temple in 70 AD, it is believed that he wrote this epistle around 68 to 70 AD. And so Jude wrote this letter to Jewish believers, and he wrote it from Jerusalem. Okay, and so this is where we're getting our setting and our background. Now notice the points of interest. Jude was half-brother to the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet they did not believe that Jesus was Messiah in the beginning. It wasn't until after the resurrection that they came to see Jesus for who he was. That's interesting, right? Because you grow up with your family, and all of a sudden, you see the difference there. Let's go to John chapter 7, where it talks about this. And we're going to be in verses 1 through 7. See, it was in the upper room that they were converted. But look at this first, at this verse, John 7, 1 through 7. After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was near. Therefore his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go into Judea, so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers, and notice that, were believing in him. So Jesus said to them, "My time is not yet here, but your time is always opportune. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil." And so you see, the brothers weren't even convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. It wasn't until they were sure that he resurrected that they grabbed hold of the truth of God. And that happened to the disciples too. Remember, once they saw Jesus resurrected, they changed. They were bold. They were courageous, right? But before that, they were hiding. They were in the upper room. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 14. "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." It wasn't until after they saw him that they were able to be converted. Now, remember that Jude lived in a time when Christianity was under severe political attack from Rome. And so the Roman government had a lot of power over them. And so one of the things, they were being infiltrated with Gnostic teachers, but also libertines, the Jews who wanted to be freed from Roman oppression. And so they were being indignated with these guys. And one of the things is that they were coming in and sowing false doctrine. They were bringing in that false doctrine that was dividing the truth and trying to destroy the truth of the Lord. So Jude was calling the people to arm, right? To arms. In other words, a call to arms to defend the truth of the gospel because of all these infiltrations of false teachers. And so this is where Jude is coming from. And so one of the things I want you to see is that we're in the same days today. We are called by God to defend the truth. There's so many lies now. And one of the things we have to be ready to know the word so that we can be able to defend it apologetically, okay? And so, notice that what we were studying in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, right? These epistles, they were based on the truth and the essential values of truth and what it brings. Like, for example, justification, sanctification, glorification, one day to be in the presence of God. And so, the whole relationship we have with God and to God, and all this fullness is based on truth. Without the truth, we will not understand deeply who Jesus Christ is. Because he is the truth. Remember he said that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? No one comes to the Father except through me. So the issue here more than anything is that we live in the truth, we walk in the truth, we ascend in the truth, that we proclaim the truth, and that we protect the truth. That's our job till the end. And right now, there's so many people just cruising along in their Christian walk that they don't even know the truth, so how can they defend it? And this is why studying the word is so crucial. Remember, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth. My word is truth." And one of the things is, right, it's a word that saves and sanctifies God's people. And one of the things, right, it gives us the hope of the future as well, in glory. So truth is more precious than anything today than it ever has been. And guess what? The church has to know the truth in order to defend it. And this is why we're studying these epistles. See, as a result of the importance of truth, truth will always be under attack. Notice just one thing. Why is Jesus getting the most attacked out of any other religious leader in the world? If he were not the truth, he wouldn't be attacked as much as he is. You can talk about Muhammad, right? Only the Muslims, the Islamic people will get after you. But you talk about Jesus and it presses people. And it steps on toes and it causes conflict, right? And if he were not the truth, he wouldn't be bothered. He would be just like any other religious leader. But why is Christianity so attacked? Because it is the truth that delivers people from the bondages of sin and death. And this is why it's so important to understand truth. If Jesus were not who he was, he would not be bothered the same way that he is being bothered today and through the ages. He has always been ridiculed by the world. So because of this importance of truth, right? We have to understand, since the fall of Adam and Eve, he's been attacked because God has been revealing his truth since then. And one of the things that I want you to understand, the word proclaimed there would be one who would come to step on the head of Satan, to destroy the serpent and provide truth and salvation for people from sin, death, right, and the curse of sin. And so the truth, the real story of Scripture, this is what Jude is doing. He's calling us to arms and calling the people back in his day to arms to defend the truth of God's word. And it's important to do that because we need to all be ready. We cannot be enjoying our Christian life on cruise control. We cannot be enjoying our Christian walk doing nothing about it. All the things that point to the truth, we have to have an interest in. And we have to fight for that truth. This is the calling of God for today. The Lord is coming very soon. You can tell, can't you? You see the signs. You see the things that are happening, the ugliness in the world. And so he's just calling the church, wake up, because so many of you are asleep. And it's been a long war from the Garden of Eden till today that God has always supplied the truth, but the world always fights against it. The devil is engaged in all these lies that you see today. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against the powers of darkness assigned to destroy humanity. And this is one of the things that the Bible teaches us, right? People have to be associated with the truth in order to come to Christ as he reveals himself. But they also have to contend once they're saved. See, it does no good when you come and you're saved and not defend the gospel, not go out there and tell people about it. We have family members. We have people that need the truth of God in order to come to it. And sometimes we just stay quiet to not cause controversy. Those days are gone. If you love your families, if you love your friends, you have to tell them the truth because the truth is what sets them free. And so, right, all these things are going on. And so apostasy is very strong today. It's a defection of many Christian so-called believers in the beginning coming to the Lord, but then abandoning all the truth and the principles of it. Where they say gay marriage is fine. We see it. Where they say, right, that you don't have to be living that kind of life where you're striving for holiness. It's all over the place. Transgenderism. You see everything that's going on with the apostasy today. And many of the church receiving those teachings. And the Bible says very clearly, we cannot walk with one foot in darkness and one foot with light. We're either all in or not. It's very important to see that today. This is why the compromise that's come into the church is destroying a lot of people and leading them astray to hell. And we have to be ready to be defenders of that truth. See, I want you to understand how this works. The greatest assaults against the truth don't come from the outside. They come from the inside. And if the church can be deceived into thinking it's okay to have gay marriage and to live that kind of life and accept it, then we've lost the truth. And one of the things is that's how a little leaven spoils a whole lump. See, we cannot allow that to happen. We have to understand what is wrong in the eyes of God and in his word is wrong. But because they've brought down the word of God, they've watered it down, Right? Now people are receiving a lot of strange doctrines in the church to say, it's okay. You can have gay preachers. Right? You can accept them in. And they're twisting the scriptures to meet their agenda. And it's not the truth of God. I know that one of the things is they've tried to desensitize us little by little by little. But there has to be preachers and teachers that stand up for the truth until God comes back, because if not, you will allow sin to come into the church. And of course, this is not a teaching that's popular today, which is okay with me, because I didn't write it, God did. Right? And they have to take it up with God. But you see them destroying the true doctrines of truth and replacing them and twisting them with lies. And we cannot accept that in the church. Until our last breath, we have to defend it. We can never compromise that word of God. This is the introduction to Jude. He says, get ready. Be part of the army of Christ. It's a military charge over us. Get in battle gear. And let's go after the liar, the deceiver, because he's destroying many lives, isn't he? We see it right before us, okay? So, it's sad, but when there's people who at first came to the Lord, maybe they came with good intentions, but they were deceived. Once those people affirm the trust and the truth in God, they believe in God, and affirm the scriptures, and now they have become the enemies of scripture. Isn't that sad? Because one of the things is the attacks from the inside are more effective. The outside, we can pray together. We can stand against them. But when a church starts being destroyed and it's effective, it's always from the inside out. Once these false teachers penetrate the church will eventually be destroyed. Isn't that sad? It's a slow death many times. And people don't even know what they're doing is wrong against Scripture because they haven't been taught the soundness of Scripture. Look at verse 4 in Jude chapter 1. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. It's a gradual deception. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Has that happened in the church today? They're turning scriptures, right? Long beforehand, and they have turned the grace of God into licentiousness. You can sin. You can live like a worldly person, and God still loves you. They've done that slowly, and they bought that lie from the pit of hell. That is not the truth of the scriptures. God says, be holy, for I am holy. And it's one of the things that we have to understand and deny our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. How many people are denying Jesus is Messiah today? How many people are saying Christ isn't who he says he is in the scriptures? No, he meant this or he meant that. And I want you to concentrate on that, because one of the things is, even in series that people bring, such as The Chosen, right? They're not showing you or portraying you the Jesus of the scriptures. A lot of people say, look at it, Pastor. Why do I want to see it when I see it's false? Right? Jesus is a buffoon, right? He's needing the help of the disciples to get together and put the Sermon on the Mount together. What do I do, guys? That's not the sovereign God of the scriptures. That's not the God who is all-powerful and omniscient. But yet the church is flocking in. They're even replacing those teachings with the teachings from The Chosen at the pulpits. So it's a call to arms, because the church is numb and they're blind. And so many people are bringing these kinds of teachings into the church, and it's apostasy. It's a defection from the truth of God, period. Okay? One of the things I want you to see, look at verse 12 from Jude 1. These are men who are hidden reefs in your love feast, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by the winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubtfully dead and uprooted. Look at that, reefs under the ocean that destroy boats, right, ships. They're amongst us, they're within us. There's many apostates that are eating right beside you. And people don't even have a sense as to where they're at. They're right next to you. They're from within us, right? Men that are hidden reefs, it says here, reefs, in your love feast. And they're right there, elbow to elbow. They're on the inside. and they're deadly dangerous. How many doctrines like this have been accepted by the church now? And how many people are causing people to trip because of these things? And how many churches are being run by these apostates? And people don't even know they're apostates. And they're in positions of leadership and pastorship. It's sad. It's happening right before us, and the Bible warns us, right? When corruption is deep inside the church, remember, we studied this in Theotrephus and his life, right? He surrounds himself with leaders that think the same. So as the church is moving forward, if they're not walking in the truth of God, they'll surround themselves with people who will be loyal to them and not to God and not to the scriptures. So they have this team around them, and they continue to see that apostasy within the church, and they start destroying it. You see it all the time. Jude is concerned with this issue, and he's telling us it's a call to arms. He's concerned about the most dangerous corruption that can occur against the truth, and that is the attack from the inside with false lies, and it's coming to the church. So what we have to do is be ready to defend it, and we have to go out there and tell people. See, it's been a long war. We know that, right, throughout history, because we've read the scriptures. And see, the threats that come from outside, yes, sometimes they're difficult, but we overcome them through Christ as we stay in unity as a church in the truth, right? But the system that most destroys the church is from the inside when these false teachers come in. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So what are we supposed to do? What Paul said here, right? We're to defend the truth of God from every speculation, every idea, every ideology or ideology, every theology, every religion, every philosophy, every viewpoint that raises up against the knowledge of God. Anything that comes against it, we're to defend it, right? And so the war is spiritual, it says here. And one of the things is those are the wars that usually come from the outside. We can see that. But when they come inside, the war becomes more difficult to overcome because it will eventually destroy a church. See, the long war against God has not just been fought on the inside, it's also on the outside as well. We know that and we see it. Believe me, we know what's going on outside now. But when it infiltrates the body of Christ and it infiltrates the church, that is when we see major damage being done to the body of Christ. The most formidable blows come from the inside. That's why we defend the truth of God. And so Jude is concerned about this, and he wants us to be concerned as well. That's why I titled the series Preparing for the Battle Against Apostasy. That's the name of our series. Okay? And so, one of the things, I want you to look at verse 3 in Jude. Let's go there. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about your common salvation. See, he started the epistle wanting to write about salvation, but then the Holy Spirit took him in another direction. I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. Then he says, then I'm going to talk to you about defending the truth from the apostates, from the people who are twisting the scripture of God. And so one of the things that you see in this verse, right, is that indicates that he started to write a letter and wanted to talk about salvation, but then he saw the seriousness of these Gnostics and libertines coming in to destroy the church. He just says, I have to teach you how to defend the truth. And this is what he's doing. And so he was interrupted, and the Holy Spirit took him to another direction. I think that's what the Lord is doing with us today. He's taking us to understand you have to defend the truth because it's being bombarded now by these false teachers. New Age, all the things that you see, postmodernism, humanism, all these things are coming in and trying to destroy the church, and it's been very effective, hasn't it? And so this is why we have to know the truth in order to defend it. Remember, the body should be a body of truth, not mixed in with lies. It should be completely preserved for the Lord. And one of the things that Jude says here, he says, I want to talk to you about these things as I write this letter. And I want you to learn how to get ready for battle and engage in battle. Now, why is he saying this? Well, because a lot of Christians are on a cruise ship instead of on a battleship right now. Many Christians are with their piña colada and their nice Hawaiian shirts and shorts. And they say, man, Christian life is nice. It's abundant. It's cool. While the bombs are going out in the background trying to destroy the church. No, Jude says, get in your battle gear. Get ready to fight. Get ready to come against Satan and his legions of demons, because I am coming soon, says the Lord. And he is. You know it, and I know it. We see how much, since recent years, right, the world has declined morally and spiritually. It's ugly. And you see it right before you, right? That we even live in a society where the thief can walk out with merchandise. And nothing happens to the guy if it's under $1,000, right? So now they're willfully just walking out with TVs, different things, and they don't do anything to them. They're afraid. It's ugly the way the world is getting. And one of the things is we're in that world now that is so lost from the truth, so far from the truth, they don't know what is right and wrong anymore. We see it, and it's right before us, right? And so one of the things I want to make you understand, we're in that era right now where everything is discombobulated. It is so messed up that we need to defend the truth. It's interesting, right? And I saw this news clip on TV the other day. And it was on the Hyundai cars that they're being stolen more frequently. Have you seen that? And they're trying to sue the company for making unsafe cars instead of going after the thieves that steal them. Is that the oxymoron there? See, you see it right before you, and you say, whatever happened to what is right and what is wrong, right? And you see that being the case now. People don't want to deal with sin in the church anymore. No one of you wants to talk about hell and the destination where people go that do not know Christ. And so they're distorting the scriptures, and people are so lost right now that we cannot forget how much Christ loved them to die in our place and in their place to save them. Our job is to be ready to go out there and tell people about who Jesus is. See, 2 Thessalonians gives us the indication that apostasy will increase right before the son of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is revealed. And we're seeing that, right? More and more. That is coming more frequently now. Lawlessness. That people steal, plunder, whatever they want to do, no big deal. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let no one in any way deceive you. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. We're seeing it, the defection. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself about every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as God, right, as being himself the Lord. One of the things I want you to see about that, it has to get this way according to Scripture. Because when the man of lawlessness comes, because of all the idol worship, because of all the lies of Scripture, because of all the different gods they serve, it'll be easy for the Antichrist to be in the temple, to defile the temple, to cause the desolation, the abomination of desolation before the temple. People are just going to say, this is it. This is the Messiah. See, and we are to warn people we care about. The times are here. You see how lawlessness is increasing. And as it gets closer to the coming of Christ, it's going to escalate in apostasy. And we have to know what apostasy is. Paul calls it the apostasia. And so one of the things that, this is not new to us. It's been happening throughout the world for many, many years. And so one of the things is when we go back and study, we see how Jesus even warned us of what was coming ahead. And he told us, look, beware. These guys are coming. And you have to be ready for them. Look at his Sermon on the Mount, and what he said in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 17. He says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit." We can see people by the way they live, and we can see if they are living good lives or bad lives very easily. And we discern, right, what is good and what is evil. He says, you'll know these false teachers by their fruits. Beware of these false prophets. See, what Jesus is telling us in the future is going to get worse. They're going to distort who I am, and they're going to try to make you believe their lies so that you won't have faith in me, but have faith in what the worldly philosophies are teaching, the worldly religions. That's why there's such a push for global religion, one world religion, because eventually it'll get everybody under that belief. But remember, Jesus brought a sword, and Jesus' true word cannot work with the false philosophies of the world. It will never mesh. All roads do not lead to heaven. All roads do not lead to heaven. There's only one way, one truth, one life that gets you to heaven, and it's the person of Jesus Christ. That's why you have to know the person. You have to know who he is in order to understand the truth. He says, remember when Thomas told him, "How do we know the way, Lord, where you're going?" And he says, "Don't you understand? You have him right before you. The way is not a road. The way is a person through Jesus Christ." That's why he said, "I'm the only way. If you know me, you're going to get to your final destination." If we know Jesus Christ for who he is, we won't have to worry about how bad the world gets, because we're going to head to the right place, where Jesus wants us eventually. Now look at Matthew 16. Jesus said this as well, in the 16th chapter of Matthew, verses 11 and 12. "How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So what is he saying? These Sadducees, modern day, Pharisees and Sadducees, they're bringing false teachings and they're deceiving people. And one of the things he says, beware with that leaven, because that little leaven has spread a lot. Have you noticed that? And it's corrupted a lot of the truth of the Word of God. And so he says, be careful, because they'll appear to represent me. They'll be appearing to be part of the kingdom of God. They'll appear to be the very spokesmen and teachers of divine truth. He says, beware. Their influence corrupts. And this is what has happened. The influence of these false teachers in modern times has corrupted the truth of the Word of God. Okay, and of course, in chapter 24 of Matthew, in the Olivet Discourse, Jesus gave us a look into the future. And he says, look, beware of this. Let's go to Matthew 24, verses 11 to 14. Matthew 24, verses 11 to 14. "Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many, because lawlessness is what? Increase. We're seeing it. Let's sue the company instead of the thief, putting them in jail and putting them away. Most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved." That's why I tell you, press on. "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." See, when he preaches to everyone, and this is the interesting part, there's one Gentile still alive that the gospel has not gotten to. If not, Jesus would have already come. And so there's going to be one last Gentile that receives the truth of the gospel, and then you'll see God for who he is. For now, his mercy and grace is allowing people to be able to come to him in these last days through all the chaos that we see. Confusion more and more is happening right before us. No borders, right? They're opening up the borders. There's lawlessness there because they're bringing in people who are up to no good as well in those borders. And so lawlessness is increasing. We see it. We see the current administration, right? How lawlessness they are. And yet, many people are still asleep. I'll still vote for that president because he's promising me 2 cars in every garage and a chicken or a couple of chicken and pots. Ain't happening. It's lies straight from the pit of hell that are destroying humanity little by little. Okay? So, one of the things the Apostle Paul cried when he warned the church, be ready of false teachers. Because sometimes, as a minister, you see people and you say, don't you get it? And it forces you to cry like, this is something that you guys need. Please open your eyes to the damage that false teachers are doing today. Because you know where they're heading if they continue in that path. Paul cried the same way in Acts chapter 20. Let's go there. As he warned the people, the church, the early church, to be on guard from false teachers. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things from within, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on alert, a call to arms, right? Remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each of you with tears. Man, he was crying. He says, wake up, church. What is going on? And so Paul was warning the church of the dangers and warning them. They had to recognize these people in order to protect the church. He warned them of wolves, right? Ravaged wolves. False teachers, in other words, counterfeit teachers that exploit the church for their personal gain. And we see it. How many men, according to our TV sets, right, and to the internet, are called servants of God, and they're just ripping off people left and right. They got their white suits, right, the gold chains, the whole nine thing, and let me sell you a bottle of olive oil that was from Israel. It's anointed. It will heal you. It will take all disease. All those people are there exploiting the gospel. Right? And you see it. And yet people are still asleep. It's demonic in its nature because it's very deceptive. See, the dangers within the church are from these people who are greedy, ambitious for position and power. And so there's warnings here of false teachers that distort the truth in order to gain a following. And that's all it is. The more followers, the more money I make. And it's not about truly loving the people the way the gospel does. Paul also warned Timothy in the church of Ephesus, keep fighting against this attack against God's truth. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith. We've seen it. Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. By means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Okay, how many people just want to shack up together today? And not make the covenant of marriage before God. We see it, right? How many people are trying to make us eat insect meat instead of a good steak from a good cow? We see it. All that has come upon us, and it's here, and people don't even know. What do you mean I'm going to eat locust from here on out? I'm not John the Baptist, right? But you see the deception there. This going global thing, right? We're going to do things going green all the way. It's a lie. I can guarantee you the leaders from the top will not give up their T-bone steaks. They will be eating steak, lobster. They will be eating all these things and trying to make us eat locust brains, right? You see it, and it's here. It's amazing, right? So one of the things that I want you to see as we continue to go through Scripture, it's here. And we have to defend the truth of the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy, Paul gives a warning to Timothy and the church as well. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult days will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they denied its power. Avoid such men as these, the Bible says very clearly. For among them are those who enter into the households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's here. Cults that go door to door, going in, taking advantage of people, spreading the lies that Jesus is not Lord. It's here. Right? And when you see these people, love for money, that's all they think about nowadays. How do I make more? How do I accumulate more? And this will bring happiness to my life. When you discover that money is an illusion, when people put it as a way of life, money is good to pay bills. It's good to just be responsible with it, but you're not to fall in love with it, because that's where the evil comes. And people are in love with money. When is enough enough, right? This world will never get filled with just what they need. They want more because they have false gods and false teachings that teach that you need these things to get along. No, you don't. God gives you what you need all the time. And you live content in whatever state you're in. Amen? All right. Okay, so then not just Paul, but Peter also warned the churches in Asia Minor as well. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But false prophets also arose from among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, and bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And that is a great point. These false ways have not become idle. They have been increasing, if you notice, in power. They're getting greater. Why? Look at the tools that are meant to make us trip. Our phones, computers, right? They get us into things we're not supposed to, pornography, all these other issues. They're geared to get us away from the Lord's truth. And it's becoming very effective that people are following after these sensual idols instead of following after God. It's corrupt right now. And the Lord is coming soon. And the church better be ready to confront all these issues. See, the world has had plenty of warnings, haven't they? And especially from Scripture, that this is not the way to go. That we are to prepare for this battle against apostasy, this defection from the truth. As the world gets more depraved, we are seeing the truth attack more and more than ever before, right? And as I was telling you, humanism is huge right now. New Age is huge. Right? We see that postmodernism and any of the other isms, they're all in gear trying to distort the truth of our Lord. The question is, how many people are going to persevere till the end? And let me tell you why I say this. Jesus wrote something powerful in the parable on prayer in Luke chapter 18. I want us to go there. And this is amazing, right? Because when I see what he wrote, it really opened my eyes in a different way as to how to defend apostasy. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. In other words, be ready. Saying, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, Give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, in other words, she became a nuisance to him, says, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, and I want you to hear this, hear what the unrighteous judge said, right? Not the righteous judge. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? In other words, I'm not corrupt. I love you guys, and I'm going to give you what you need. It says, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. He's coming back. He's going to bring justice. Don't give up. And he says, quickly. When it happens, it's going to happen in the blink of an eye. However, when the Son of Man comes, and this is what grabbed me, right? Will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? Think about that. As bad as the world is getting, as corrupt as the world is getting, will he come back and say, there are faithful people? Look at what he asked. Will he find faith on earth? See, one of the things is, Jude was saying, they're here, folks. These false teachers, the corruption they're bringing, they're here. No, they're not on their way. They're in. And many of them are in the church. They were here when he wrote, and they're here now. And worse than ever, because evil from men and women grow worse and worse. Aren't they getting worse and worse instead of better? They're getting more reprobate every time. The apostasy is escalating. And it will continue to escalate until Jesus comes. That's why the church was placed here on earth as well, to be able to defend the truth of God, to lead people out of apostasy. And see, the longer Christianity exists in this world, the more corrupt it's going to get on the inside. Why? People are not teaching sound doctrine anymore. They're afraid to step on toes. They're afraid to lose members, right? It's not the true Christianity. But it's people who say they are a part of it that are messing it up, and they're not living life correctly. They're corrupting the truth of God's word. See, one of the things, whether you're talking about sacramental religions or cults that call themselves Christian, whether you're talking about the ugly, corrupting, damning influence of liberal theology, whatever aspect you want to look at and whatever you're seeing on TV, that doesn't portray the biblical Jesus, get away from it. Do not listen to these lies of the enemy. Remember, Jesus is not some buffoon. And that's what they're teaching more and more. He was just a good man, a good teacher, a prophet. No, Jesus is creator of the universe. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, this is one of the reasons why as a church we have to work hard. And we cannot put our life on cruise control. We have to go out there and make a difference in the lives of the people that God has put around us. Nobody is in your life. No one is in your life by accident. Every single person God brings in your life towards you is for you to evangelize now and to tell them the truth. That is what's going to get you moving, compassionate about lost souls. See, one of the things is Jesus never depended on his disciples for counsel. He never needed any help to deliver his ministry and his message. You know why people are exploiting the name of Jesus in these last days? For money? To make more income? And to lead people astray. So Jude says, guess what? Apostasy is here and the truth is at stake. Look at verse 3 again from Jude 1. This is a call to arms for the church. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend, wrestle with. In other words, get aggressive, go after it. appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to who? Us, the church. We're in battle mode. We're not in cruise control. We are supposed to be going out there aggressively now and defending the truth of the gospel. My question, though, to all of us is, are we suited up? Are we in uniform? Are we dressed in God's armor or our own? That is the key. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll close with this from verses 12 to 18. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor, not parts of it. Be suited up for battle, the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, so you won't fall as well. And having done everything to stand firm, in other words, till Christ comes back. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We're supposed to be in battle mode. That means our prayer life should be stronger than it's ever been before. Interceding for other saints, standing up for the truth of God, and praying that this government will turn around for good again in our own nation and in the world, that the Lord destroy those plans of the global agenda. I know it's going to get worse, but it doesn't stop me from doing what I'm responsible for. I am called to battle, not to sit passively by and do nothing about it. Work hard. Continue to minister, to lead people to Jesus Christ. Join the force. Contend earnestly. That means there's a struggle. There's pain, there's suffering for the faith, which was delivered to the saints, to us. No excuses. We're to protect and defend the Bible. And this is the opening to Jude. You're going to love this epistle. It's small, but it's powerful. And it's going to do a lot. Okay, so, and this is the introduction to Jude. And my prayer is that you guys heard the battle call and that you're ready to defend the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't been suited up, that today you will put on the armor of God from head to toe so that the enemy will not come in and trip you up and cause others in your families to also fall. Be strong. Be ready. Because the Lord wants us to go out there and be representatives to this fallen world of His love and kindness. Remember that the truth is what sets us free from the power of death and sin. The more we teach the truth, more people will be delivered from it. And people who don't know Christ will come to Christ. I did a funeral this weekend, and one of the things that I saw in one of the testimonies of one of the gentlemen who came up to give a testimony of that person that was part of their family, he started sharing his testimony and what God did in his life, how lost he was. He said, man, I was my mom's worst kid. He said, I caused my mom a lot of heartache, but she would never stop praying for me, he said. And one day those prayers reached me and I became the new person that I am now in Christ. Don't forget what it cost Jesus to save us. Some of us might have given Jesus a harder time than others. Doesn't matter. What matters is that you came to the truth and He delivered you. So my prayer is that we will get very aggressive in these last days sharing the gospel of truth, and that we will make people understand the only way to heaven is through the person of Jesus Christ. All right? And then, for people who have drifted away and been deceived by these false teachers, that they're lukewarm, their love for Christ have diminished, that through this epistle, many lives will be ignited with a passion again for where Jesus brought you out of. Do not get lukewarm. Return to your first love, and Christ will raise you up again. Amen.